land. Do not do anything to them. I've saved them for myself. Lot had slept with his eldest daughter, Lot, and that was the nephew of Abraham, and then Moab, and Ammon also. But Esau was Jacob and Esau, so the Edomites then came from there. These nations will produce the Antichrist. Did you just hear what I just said? These nations will produce the Antichrist. So I could say who it is. It's not important. But the point is, so keep guessing, which one is the bad guy? And he's mentioned over and over and over and over again in the Bible. So it's right there. But because of that, they have a malice toward Israel that is fiercer than any other power in the world. Any. No matter what you can think of, they don't compare to the Edomites. Whenever Israel was attacked, the Edomites rejoiced. They were so happy about that. And all of these nations have malice because they're relatives. How many know that your relatives can be opposed to you? I'm just saying. And so you can have someone in your family that is not forgiving. They see some flaws in you because they're close to you. They know your flaws. And so they don't like the leopard to change its spots. And so, well, you've always been bad, or you've always been. And they hook you into where you were until you meet Jesus. Then they really hate you because then they become fierce. You think you're better than us, don't you? And so people in your own family, that's like a civil war. That's like a civil war, brothers against brothers, and so on and so forth. So this last chapter is all about the death of Moses. It's all about the death of Moses. You remember he started out, and at age 40, he departed, and for the next 40 years, until he was 80, exactly my age. When he was 80, then he started his ministry. And he said, now I want you to go back after seeing this burning bush that never stops burning. I now want you to go there and tell them the God of the Hebrews wants the Pharaoh to let the people go because they're crying to me. And so you go there. And now he's 80. How many know that by reason of strength you can reach to 80? But when you reach 80, you've lost all your strength. Now I'm going to emphasize your strength. Now you have the Lord's strength if you're a believer. That's powerful. And so since we now have the Lord's strength, I could live to be 120. And I have so much work I want to do, I hope that's the case. Even though I won't have any teeth, everything will be gone, and all my plumbing won't work, I don't care. I'll probably be mumbling like this. And so I've always hated that when you see older people look like that. I will be that. Oh, you think I cursed myself? No, no. It's a sense of humor. In other words, I don't care if I die today. In other words, I'm ready to die because I died the minute I met Jesus 38 years ago. And I died knowing I'm on borrowed time. And so since that's the case, I'm relaxed. I'm never anxious. I'm never unhappy. I never blame anybody. I'm completely a Christian. And Jesus does all his work and I don't help him. I never help Jesus. I've never done a good work in my life before I was a Christian. And I've never done a good work since then. But Jesus, who works for me and then in me and then through me, loves Peggy and loves everybody. And I'm not hostile toward anybody. So this chapter is so important if Moses doesn't die. So where is he going to die? Well, let's read where he's going to die. It tells you exactly here. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo. Nebo means peak. Okay? So this is the peak, and it's called Pisgah, P-I-S-G-A-H. So this one is then the very, very, very top, and somehow he's then, a grave has been prepared for him, and no one knows where it is, even to this day. Even to this day, nobody knows where it is. But it's in a valley up there. And Moses, when he stood up in that high height, that high place, when he stood up, he could see all the way to Dan, which is the northernmost part beyond the Golan Heights, way north. It's all the way to where the river flows out of Mount Hermon. And so all that way, then he can see the Mediterranean Sea from that high spot. So he's in a high place. And his brother, Aaron, has already died. Brother was 2 years older than he was. And the brother's already up there in also Moab, but in another spot. So this importance, I want you to hear me very closely. Don't just hear me through your ears. If Moses doesn't die, Jesus cannot pardon you. Did you hear what I said? If Moses doesn't die, then Jesus cannot pardon you, forgive you, bless you, and so on. So it's important that Moses dies. So he's not only dead at 120 and burned on his, that's exactly his birthday. He died on his birthday. So he lived exactly 80 plus, right, plus 40 more years. And that's the day he died. So happy birthday that your flesh is dead. The law is dead. Burdening you is dead. Remember how Jesus said in the New Testament, come unto me. Don't go unto the Father. Come unto me, because God was in Christ, reconciling the Atage, reconciling the world to himself. So since that's the case, you have to be in Christ. You're a believer because you're in Christ. But you didn't decide that. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. And he's the one that's taking all your sins away. You don't see him doing it. You don't even know that he's doing it. But if you're a believer, because to him that worketh not, like Moses, to him that worketh not, because he's a servant in the house of the Lord, and he's a faithful servant. He did everything God wanted him to do. The only thing he did wrong, and this kept him out of the promised land, so he said, you won't go into the promised land because you sinned at Meribah. And so that was a place that there was a rock, and he said, speak to the rock, and he hit it twice. Double jeopardy. Did you hear what I just said? Double jeopardy means if the evidence is the same, you can't indict a person, accuse a person for the same crime. So that's part of our Constitution. In fact, everything we have is from our constitutional reading of the Bible. Not reading from anything else. Because of that, our Protestant Bible is then postponed until 1836, when Texas became a republic of laws. And that was the first day in 1836 after we defeated General Santa Anna, who was also the president, El Presidente. And so now, because of that, you have to realize that God has a method in the Old Testament of hiding the gospel underneath. It's hidden. But if you're born of the Spirit, you can read it. Because by the letter of the law, it kills. But by the Spirit of the law, it gives eternal life. So now if you want eternal life, Jesus pardoning you forever and ever. Not just forever. That means as long as time exists, as long as this government exists. Forever never means forever and ever. But forever and ever means world without end. No beginning, no ending, eternal. Everlasting life. So everything that's been promised for us was accomplished by Jesus, because he was the one that fulfilled the law. He didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law So now you can do the law as Christians. And the only reason that he saved you from your sin is because you can't go to heaven. If you have one sin, one spot, one wrinkle, one anything, you couldn't marry Jesus, which is God's whole purpose. So the only reason that he gave that is so that you could do what was right, what was true, what was good, what was just. If you do what was wrong, and so on and so forth, you'll perish. So, but because he saved us, the hot church, Zestos, now we can, because we're not Kliaros, a lukewarm church. But today the whole church is lukewarm. I'm not talking about specifically us here. I'm talking about anyone that believes in Jesus. And so if you were born again, anothen, if you were born from above, you're no longer natural, even though you have a nature, and you still are part of the nature, because in your soul, you have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul. You have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul. So every day, Paul says, I die daily. In other words, he points out my sin every day and says, Hi, I'm removing another sin. And every day he removes a sin from you. Unless you're apostate, which means you fall away. You began in the spirit, but you now end in the flesh. So a lot of Christians are born again, chair 4, but they don't want to go on to 5, where they have a new soul and then a new body or behavior. So that will only come on the second coming of Jesus, when he that pardoned you now also will come back and deliver you from the wrath of the wicked. But the wicked are going to perish. And they have no hope unless you pray for them, unless you forgive them, unless you love them, unless you bless them, unless you do good for them, and never curse them. So this is a powerful thing, and I believe, personally, that I'm called to be part of that whole thing. And so I believe that Dallas-Fort Worth is where I want to be. And I was done not by making any choice. I just liked it warmer. And now it's hot. But now it's cooling off. So I believe that I'm in the right place at the right time. And his father and I and Keith Girton was a doctor, and then Robert Mowiri, we started this church years ago. And since that's the case, I believe we should finish the Reformation. So are you saying the Reformation isn't finished? Yeah, absolutely, I am. Most of the church today is lukewarm, whether it's Catholic, whether it's Protestant, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Buddha, whatever it is, everything is mixed up today. It's confused. It's confounded. It's vain. It's empty. Don't worry about it. Fret not because of evildoers. They're everywhere. And if you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. So don't dare. Don't even try to live a godly life. Try to live a sinful life as much as you can. No. That's not my point. My point is, you'll do it anyway, because he hasn't removed all your sins. Because only God can save you. Only God can give you a new heart and a new soul and a new body. So since he's doing that, every day sin is the only focus you should have. Not that you look at it. He looks at it. You don't even know your sins. Even if you tried to say, well, I know it's because I have a temper. Really? Yeah, and it's making me mad. You're talking to me. And so on. How many know you can't get rid of any sin? Even the smallest sin. Just like medicine cannot find a way of curing the cold or coronavirus. They're having trouble. And how many know that God didn't send coronavirus to hurt you? Whatever God does, he always turns it for good. When there is no way, he'll make a way. When there's no way that he could just sit up, and then in a little while he's getting better, and the next day he's already kind of normalish. Wow, only God. And how many know that he's not finished yet? He can't be finished unless you're finished. So you can't be finished. So when he said it's done, he's talking about your salvation. Jesus His name in the Old Testament is salvation, which is Yeshua. Y-E-S-H-U-A-H. Yeshua is on every page of the Old Testament. You can read it anywhere. So God's name is always Yeshua because Yeshua has always been in the world ever since it was first created. He's always been here. He was the rock. He was the rock, which is the foundation of everything, and it never moves. He's an immortal, and this rock can never change. It stays the same. It's immutable. You cannot change it. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So how many know you and I, everybody here, you are born again to do what's right, what's good, what's true, what's just? So you want to do that, even though you may not want to do that. You might have two wants in you. I want to do God's word, and I also want to have a little bit of sin. Not a lot, just a little bit. Every once in a while I get angry. Every once in a while I want to pay somebody back. Every once in a while, I'm tired of you. Every once in a while, I'm bored with being with you. And so every once in a while, sin comes up. Could I hear an amen? Yeah. Well, so every once in a while, we just seem to, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I probably am not. You know. And so people listen to the devil that says, I'm trying to get you right now and make sure that you don't grow up. You only go to four. But I'm not going to let you get to five. He doesn't want you to have a new soul. But your soul is in God's hands. Your soul is in God's hands. How many know God who created you is the same one that can recreate you? He gave you the first heart. He can give you the second heart. Or he could renew the first heart and make it the second heart. So now when Jesus comes back, you will actually feel it. You'll actually understand all mysteries. And you'll actually want to do the will of God. And you'll be surprised. But he prophesied that. He said, it won't happen until I come back a second time. So if Moses doesn't die, then you're not going to live in Jesus. Because someone has to fulfill the Abrahamic promise to Abraham. And since God made a covenant with him, swearing with his right hand. Now God doesn't have hands. He's spirit. How many know God's a spirit? So he doesn't have hands. He doesn't have noses and so on and so forth. But he can smell you without a nose. And he can hear you without ears. And he doesn't need to have human things. You're just be like God, but you're not exactly God. You have the similitude. You're similar to. But God does that. Anything that God says, the only way you can be made like God is if I do it for you because I'm perfect and you're not. I'm perfect and you're not. I'm perfect and you're not. In other words, you can't be God. And that's the only problem right there. The only problem on earth is people want to be God. even in this church, there's people in this church. Not you, Walter. No, not you. Not you. And so you don't have to worry about it because Jesus promised. Now, a promise is different than a command. A command means you better do it or else. And if you don't avoid that or else, you have to avoid what he says avoid and then do what he says do. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Well, how many know Jesus is your substitute? He's a substitutionary atonement. And so 4, 5, and 6 is your atonement. 4, 5, and 6 is the perfect person. This is you, but you don't do any of it. Just like you didn't make yourself, so you can't improve yourself. God will do all that. And he does it, and all you have to do is believe. 4. 4 is believing in Jesus. Now, because of that, he then, under Aaron, by the way, in the Old Testament, why Aaron had to die first. Aaron had to die because he was the only one that if you broke the law of Moses, you could go to him and get a bull or a turtle dove if you're poor. Or you could get a lamb or a ram. And so on and so forth. So there were many clean animals that you could sacrifice and their blood would then cause God to wink because he knew he doesn't want you to pretend like you're doing it. He doesn't want you to have a substitute in an animal. The blood of goats and bulls will never forgive you. Moses cannot forgive you from all your sins. That's clear, isn't it? So why do so many Christians, Catholics, even Protestants, why are they trying to do good as though they want to please God when he's already been pleased with you from the time he created you in your mother's womb? So you've been clean ever since. So all of that, man in his best state, is altogether vanity. Nothing, 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 zero. So since God wants you to know this, that Moses dying is the key to your life. So how did he get into the promised land? Through the gospel. So when the law dies, Moses dies. But when Moses dies, but he was faithful in all God's house. But he said these words, and this is why he was faithful. He pointed to Jesus and said, another prophet God is going to raise up in the last days. Listen to him. Pay attention to whatever he says. Everything he says is your eternal life. I can't give you that. The law makes nothing perfect. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, New Testament, 19th verse, 7th chapter, 7:19. It says this, that anything that you do under a law is imperfect. In other words, that's why Jesus is the only one that can live for you and in you and through you. So now since he's doing it, you don't have to worry about it because he made a promise. Let him keep the promise. And since Jesus was always there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is now 400 years, 4,000 years since he was, since the foundation of the world. 4,000 years later, Jesus appears and say, I'm what you're looking for. Now, Antichrist is someone that says, I'm what you're looking for, even though they lied, even though they deceived you, even though they tricked you. And so Satan is so happy today that he has so many anarchists in America. And they're throughout the world. And so many tyrants. And so many Christians that have apostated. They've been apostate, meaning they fell away from Jesus. You began in the spirit, now you're trying to end in the flesh and perfect yourself when you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And if you can do nothing, what are you? A nothing. You have nothing. You are nothing. You know nothing. So you have to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. How many here have a will to read the Bible every day? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, you must have a good pastor. In fact, there's now 6 of us. In a little while, there'll be 8 of us in this church. Why? I don't know. It's just making pastors is fun. All you have to do is kill them. I'm a man killer. In other words, you cannot be a Christian all on your own. That's what pastors are for. You can get saved without it, but you can't grow. So you have to be mentored. You have to be taught. You have to be trained and so on and so forth. And I know God killed me so that I could do that. So I don't love myself now because God's love is enough. I don't need more than God's love. So he's chosen me to be part of his bride. And so you are now the first fruits of Jesus, who is the first fruits. So you're the first fruits of the first fruits. So when Moses dies and you're not under the law, you're under grace. You're not under the law, which makes nothing perfect. You're under grace. And if you change the priest, if you change the high priest, then it affects the law. So the minute Jesus died on the cross for all your sins, all your dowry, he actually ransomed you out of the marketplace. Agora. Agora. That is the marketplace in Israel under Rome. And so if you're rescued or ransom is paid, God is totally satisfied. Jesus' death satisfied that. But he also paid the dowry. But he also forgave all your sins when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. It is finished. Tetelestai. So tetelestai, and this is why I love these languages, because if you don't have these languages, you don't find out what they mean. So reading the word, you don't have to do this. I have to do it. But if you do this, you'll understand that repentance doesn't mean repentance. It means comfort yourself. It's in the middle voice. In other words, the noun or pronoun uses the verb to reflect back on yourself. Tell Israel her warfare is over, her sins have been forgiven 700 years before Jesus was born. So, everything God has arranged for you, just like as a parent, you arrange this for your children. Every parent knows, hey, the next 20 or so years, mother's going to be your mother. And even though you go to college, doesn't mean you're done with sin. I mean, no, some people are free to go to college. I was. Yay! Don't have to be under any observations. And I didn't fear God, so I didn't care about God, nor did I believe in hell. Your life is what you make it. So that's what I believe. I was a hedonist and so on and so forth. But as I grew up, I had no love for Jesus and I had no fear of Jesus. I didn't even think there was a heaven or hell or anything. Life is enough. So if you make it, thank yourself. If you don't make it, too bad. Where there's a will, there's a way. And so I grew up stupid. How many know that I was stupid when I grew up? You know, you don't know it, but I am. And so I don't apologize for it, because the only way I became a Christian is because I was stupid and did all the wrong things. And God said, I came for sinners who repent. Comfort themselves. And so one day, 38 years ago, I met Jesus, and that was it. I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God, that Jesus was his son, and it's to the death for me every day. I will never be Jim again. Never. You know, in the Bible, when God meets somebody and has an experience with them, God initiated. If God initiates, it's unilateral, not bilateral. If you do this, then I'll do that. No, this one is not the law. This one is the gospel. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven times. So he made this promise, and when God makes a promise, Christianity is not about me behaving, it's about God behaving. He doesn't want you to pay him back for the free gift. He wants you to be blessed, and he does the burden. That's all. Jesus loves the burden. Because it's easy for him. He just speaks. Let there be light. Boom, there's light. So he's having fun up there. Let there be a tree of life. Let there be a tree of death. Let there be all the trees. He just keeps creating things. But now he's done with that. And Jesus at a certain point said, my Father worketh not, but I work from now on. It's my turn. And so from now on, I've come into the world to show you our salvation. And God is going to pay the ransom. He's going to do everything he can to perfect you in love. And when you're all done, a disciple, when you're fully taught, you will be like the master. You won't be the master. You'll be like the master. So the master isn't Pastor Jim. The master is Jesus Christ. So all I can do is tell you the truth. I can't think I'll just make it up the way I want to. I just have to say what God says. So Moses went up from the plains of Moab into the mountain of Nebo and the top of Pisgah, that is over Jericho. In other words, right against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. In other words, he could see far north. And all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, and the land of Manasseh, two sons of Joseph. And all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea. Then you have to go west. So he's going north, then he goes west to the Mediterranean Sea. So up in his Pisgah, in other words, up to the highest peak. So he's way up here, and he can see way far north. Then he can way over here west, then south, and then east. He can see everything. He can see everything. Goes all the way to the Euphrates River. So this land of Israel is God's land. No matter if Israel sins, it doesn't matter to God that Israel sins. I mean, no, certain Israelis sin. Like 100%. Why? Because they've done everything wrong. And by doing the law, that was the worst thing you could possibly do. Because now you made an idol out of yourself that I can be like God. That I can be like God is idolatry. Now you're worshiping an idol and it's you. That is called self. I by myself can save myself. That's the one thing you cannot do. The one thing you cannot do is save yourself. That's all. That's humanism. Anything man-made is worthless. I don't care how much you value it, it's worthless. And I think Julia told me her dog is going to be in heaven. Praise God. I don't see a scripture against it. I don't see one for it, so I'm not going to teach that. My horse. You know, when I get to heaven, all my pets will be there. I don't know about that. Because it's not in the Bible. If it were in the Bible, I would tell you that. So I can just say, I have read all about the zoo and all about the animals and the ark and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if they'll be in heaven or not. Did you lose an elephant? Or maybe a dinosaur? Or maybe a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Every little kid that wants one of those. And so on and so forth. So God has arranged the world in such a way that you're always blessed. God never takes a blessing. God never has taken a blessing. He blesses you because the greater always blesses the lesser. He's the parent. God is the one that wants to bless you. Have you not been blessed just in being a citizen of Texas? Amen. Have you not been blessed? You can be born anywhere and you can be Christian anywhere. But I believe this particular land, and I have the minister of defense in Israel told me this. I said to him, you know, Texas is really for Israel. Said, no, he said, sitting right across the table from me. And so I looked at David Dewhurst, and I said, David, tell him that what I say is true. Not everybody, but mostly everybody. They're all Christians. He said, you are not our friend. You are our only friend in Texas. That's what he said. So this is the Minister of Defense. He said, and it's a joke throughout the whole military. They say that you get Texas, you get everything. How many know Texas is big? We're not big, big, big. We're big in their eyes because we're the ones that moved the capital to Jerusalem. Not Trump. Trump did it. But actually, it's in the Bible. It's the capital. So why shouldn't they be where they belong? And so every other president promised to do it from Truman on, but nobody ever did it. And because it'd be World War III. You'd have a worldwide world, you know, the whole world would be angry. I think Jesus is saying to do it. And it was advised, don't do it. I mean, you want to create World War III? No. I just think God wants to do it. I'm going to do it. What a stubborn person he is. You know, what, do you want to be persecuted? You want to be hated? And so, I don't know. I don't know if he has a good reputation today or not. Because if you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. Isn't that exciting? I'm waiting for someone to look exciting. Isn't that exciting that if you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted by the world? You'll feel the world's wrath on you. So isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting? Did you know God wants you to do that? Unless you suffer with him, you won't be glorified with him. Unless you suffer with him, you won't be glorified with him. Unless you suffer with him, you can't be perfected. You'll never get to 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 over there. So you have to be persecuted in order to be a Christian, even members of your own family. You think you're better than we are? We've always been Methodists. Stay that way. Or Presbyterian, or, you know, Baptist, or whatever. How many know it has nothing to do with your denomination? They're all man-made. All the denominations are man-made. And they all claim to scriptures behind them, but they just make stuff up. I'm not even going to go through it. I'm just telling you. So they're all man-made, so none of them will get you to heaven. Being a Presbyterian won't get you to heaven. If you're a Baptist, B-A-B, if you're a Baptist, you can't go to heaven. Not by because you're, you know, you're that denomination. Those are just man-made. They won't get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus will get you there. Now, thank God, you know, many of them are Christian. I don't say they're not. I just say they can't mature. You're not going to mature in a denomination. That's why we're not part of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So everything that we see in this world is nothing. The only thing you have is this Bible, this book right here. And it has to be the textus receptus of the Greek language and the Masoretic text of the Hebrew. And so I study that every day. Every day I look at it because I want to know the original meaning of all those things. So I have, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of books in my house, and I can go and I have them categorized more or less. They're stacked to the ceiling, but more or less they're categorized, and I can go and then pull them all around me when I study because I want to know what is an apostrophe, you know, what is this comma? What is this period? What's an iota? So on. You have to understand everything about grammar to read the Bible in the original intent that God had, not what man said, what God had. And if you have an 1828 dictionary, which I do, and I keep it right there next to my concordance, next to my Greek and my Hebrew, my Latin, and so on. If you do that every day, you can look up anything. And so I do that because it's my job. In other words, it's my calling. So, Danny, you've been called into the ministry. So you have to be fiduciary. That means you have to never take a benefit and always give a blessing to everybody else. Praise God. So how many Danny can do that? Can do it. Why? Why? Not because of him. Because of Jesus. So Jesus does it and you get the credit. Thank you for preaching that sermon. I just opened my mouth. I don't even need notes. I just talk. Why? Because I know exactly where I'm going, because I know exactly what this thing is saying. If Moses doesn't die, you're not going to be pardoned by Jesus. So his death is your life. His death is your life. You have to be dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Anything of this world will perish. So we're against the culture, totally against everything cultural. Oh, what if God did it? Well, you'd have to prove that God did it. So I don't have a problem with that. But you'd have to prove that that was God. Did you know Christians can do good works after you believe in Jesus? It has to be after. Because everything we say is of God might not be. It's possible that you just did it because you were proud. Because you have a beautiful voice and want to be heard. Whatever. So whatever you do, I think I was on tune today and so on and so forth. So how many know that if you believe in this world, you're going to perish. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, your home is in heaven. This is not your home. This is you're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Passover. You just pass through. And the Jordan is your Passover. The Jordan River is the Passover because they left the Red Sea behind them. That was baptism. They left that. But they came to the Jordan River and it was flooded in the springtime. And then the Jewish believers said, this thing is a flood. I mean, it's flooded over. It's not just this narrow little thing of, you know, 20 feet long or something like this. This is a big river thing. And it's flooded. You can't get through. Now, he's at this very spot we're talking about. This is where everyone was baptized by John the Baptist. Not the one up by Lake of Galilee. This one is further down. And now when I go, I always baptize people in that particular spot. That's where Jesus was also baptized by John. Remember that? He said, I don't need to, you know, you need to be, you need to, no, I can't wash, I can't do this. Because you're the one. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. 4 and 5 takes away your sin. In 5, he takes away all your sin. And when a disciple's fully taught, you'll be like the master, spirit, soul, body. But he did that gift. Everything God has ever done is a gift. Everything God has ever done is a gift. Everything God ever wrote in the Bible is a promise. Everything God ever wrote in the Bible is a promise. The only reason he gave you a law is so Jesus could do it for Israel. The only reason he ever gave you a law is so you could do the good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That strengthens you. That is what you need. So the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues or speaking not. It doesn't matter. You need to realize you need all the weapons God gives you, all the powers God gives you, all the authority that God has given to you. And so I'm going to read this because this is so powerful, just these 12 verses. And all of Naphtali, verse 2, Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, Judah always means Yehuda, which means praise, unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. Zoar is then talking about the rest of the land. And the Lord said to him, verse 4, this is the land, this is the land. He's talking about Joshua, which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give this to your seed, small s. So all the people of Israel are the seed of Abraham by blood. But this is not by blood, capital S. Jesus Christ gives you new birth, something new. Now, I want you to learn this word in Hebrew. I know you won't, so I say that so you will. So, meta schema, M-E-T-A, S-C-H-E-M-A. So, that's different. Okay, M-E-T-A, and then schema, S-C, right? But it's S-K. Actually, C-H or K, the same sound. So C-H or K, E-M-A. Now, that's different than metamorphuo. That's different than that. That would mean Jesus used to be Logos when he was Son of God in heaven. Then he became a man morphological. That is, he morphed. That was a form of him. He was a man so he could die for you. Then he became metaschema, that is, a humble man that never took anything for us. He took everything for you to be blessed. He never took a blessing. And since he was humble, he was like a lamb ready to be slaughtered for you so that you wouldn't die. So you see, he could be everything you need. Jesus is everything. So schema is totally different. That means you're lowly, humble, having no strength except God himself, because he's Son of Man now. But he's Son of Man not just by being a man. He's Son of Man by being a humble man. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You're under the law. All ye that are still under the law and are heavy laden, still under the law. And I will give you free gift. Don't pay for gifts. Free. I'll give it to you for free. Rest. In other words, Shabbat Shalom. In other words, everything the Jews want, they never got. Everything you want is happiness in this world. You'll never get it. If you have your eyes on this world, you'll get nothing. Vanity. Nothing. And a lot of people die in fear because they don't think they've been a good Christian or a good human being. They didn't love the neighbor and they didn't love God. And so they get nervous. But all you have to say is, let's read the scripture. Let's pray. And people are eager to it. Yeah, okay, go ahead. So I've had very few say don't. Usually because they're at their desperation, they're facing death, and they wonder, well, maybe I have a little bitty sin or something like that. Tell me about the little bitty sin you have. And so people tried to make themselves God because they always wanted to be in control, even though they're poor and lowly. Only behavior. No, he's talking about lowly in heart. So learn of me because I am lowly. In other words, my heart is totally knit to God. He loves me. I love him. I just want to show you that. So God, metaschema, wants to be humble, doesn't want any praise. He didn't wear different clothing. He didn't have a Superman shirt, you know, under himself. You know, it's like, I'm Superman here. He didn't have anything to expose himself, right? But we think of that as, you know, that's a good idea to have that shirt there in case somebody, you know, gets you. I'm God's son. No, he's not the sun god. He's no kind of god. He's not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So when he was examined by Pontius Pilate, we said that today, Pontius Pilate, suffered under Pontius Pilate. His suffering was not that he was poor or sick or anything like that. His suffering was he could see heaven spiritually, but he couldn't see it on earth. He could see heaven spiritually. And the only reason he came is to show the Father's love to you, everybody, so that you knew by experience, not just by faith. You can start out with faith, but eventually you have to see it. You have to have an experience and things that accompany salvation. So you're saved by chair 4, not by 5 and 6. Those are just other degrees of glory. Sanctification, glorification. So you won't get on that pattern unless you realize that everything in you is wicked. In other words, he never came for the righteous. He said that. I did not come for the righteous, self-righteous. I did not come for the righteous, self-righteous. I came for sinners who repent. Comfort yourself because of the good news. So I have to be happy before I'm holy. The world thinks the opposite. I have to be holy, then I'll be happy because I'm going to heaven. It's not that way. You can't do a good work that God will be pleased with because he's already pleased with you. He's always been pleased with you. He will never not be pleased with you. Even if you go to hell, you go against his will. His will is to bless everybody. I'm not saying universal salvation. All I'm saying is that's what he wants. But how many know if God wants something, it might happen. It might happen. So if God wants something, I would go with the want. So as far as I'm concerned, everyone I meet is a potential for the kingdom of God. Maybe they haven't taken delivery on it. I'm an atheist, they say. I'm an agnostic, or I'm a Muslim, or whatever. That doesn't bother me a bit. I don't care what you say. Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. You need to hear the good news. Before you chop me, you have to realize being a Muslim won't get you there because you're trying to do a good work. All the religions are under the law. Everyone under the law, nothing's made perfect. Everything that anyone does is imperfect. Right? How many know that when you raise children, they're imperfect? I mean, no matter how much you teach them to behave, you could be too rigid or, you know, lenient. It doesn't matter. Love doesn't do it, and neither does lenience. It doesn't matter what you do. They're going to rebel against you someday, and they're going to say no. And when they say no, that means they're a person. They're not you. They're separate from you. And I'm just going to establish myself here today. No. You go to bed right now, I'm spanking you. No. And so kids, they don't know what's going to happen when they do that. That's the first time they've ever used that word, no. And when they use it, you don't know how far it's going to go. So spank them. Not at 2. Spank them when they're a little bit older. So for the first few years, they feel loved. I mean, love is what I want. Love. Fellowship. But after they grow up, they become their own persons, right? Isn't that right? They just become their own persons. Well, my brother did this, but let him be that one. I'll be this one. And so everybody does that. I'm not that person. I'm myself. Now, you can't be other than what you are. Whatever you are, you are. Whatever is, is. So you have to realize you live among people who need a lot of forgiveness because nobody's perfect. I found that out by being married to Peggy. She found out right away I wasn't. I don't know why. You thought I was going to say she wasn't. But everybody loves Peggy, so I can't say that. Not in this church. There was a vote, she'd get the vote. But she can be naughty. She can be naughty and nice. Not today. Peggy, you're the best. So are you, Jim. Praise God. See that? That took a lot of training. on God's part to train me to stay. I had to start it unilaterally. I had to say, Peggy, you're the great. I didn't want to say that because anything I did was right and everything she did was wrong. That's all. I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm the man. I'm the boss. I'm the absolute, you know, commander. And so Peggy grew up under that for years and years and years, stuffing it all, stuffing it all, stuffing it all. And then one day I said, Peggy, don't worry if you don't like it. Some just speak up. So ever since that day, she's been speaking and talking and not liking things. And I say, well, could you go back to the way you were before, just doing everything I say? Because I think it worked out great. It didn't, and I'm not going to stop. I said, just forgive me and go on. No. So I'm afraid I made that big mistake right there. But you know what? It's perfect. Because I prayed this prayer. God, since I loved her from the first second I ever met her, I'm going to marry that girl. I didn't point, but I'm going to marry that girl right there. Within minutes, we're already on the end of a snake dance going down because that was our first day in college. And sooner or later, I had to fight off all of her competitors and all the people that would be, you know, rivals and so on. So I had to fight them all off. And she doesn't even know what I did. So, because I'm going to marry that woman. And I made a decision. I'm going to have to stick with my decision. But I wanted to. And so no matter what happened, you're forgiven. I don't care. I don't care. Even though it would be, and we've often had this discussion. Why did you marry me? I don't know. Well, why did you marry me? I don't know either. And so it'd be better if we weren't. That was what she used to say. But now she says, no, I'm so glad. Is that because of the kids? Because the kids are all perfect. David, perfect. Happy birthday, David. David is perfect, and Margaret is perfect, and Kirsten is perfect, and they're all perfect because they're my kids. And she said, well, I had a little bit to do with it. Now I'm in my right mind, so I agree with Peggy almost all the time. When I disagree, it doesn't work out good. Obo, you need to learn that. You need to learn that don't ever fight with a woman because they're a representation of the church. Even Jezebel, bad church, but lukewarm church. But she wanted to marry not her husband, who was the king. She wanted to marry the prophet. And so she ended up on the dirt. And so everything God has rigged is a lesson to us. And if you read the lesson and don't judge, because you're not the judge. You can't even judge for yourself. I'm a Christian, but then why do I oppose something he says to do? Take out the garbage. You're next to it. So we used to have all these discussions about legalism. You started this. We don't have any of that. Now it's over within a few seconds. Peg. I did wrong. That's how you do it. Always the man is responsible, fiduciary. Peg, I was wrong. You were right. Suddenly she's not mad. Well, not suddenly, but in a little while. She's not angry. Because how many know if you're a man and you're married to a woman, it's God's will to stay? How many know that? Amen. It's just God's will. So, You don't want to go against God's will. Why? Because he loves you. And he knows how his works work. And he always does his works. So Jesus is still. He said, the Father is not working now, but I'm still working. In fact, he said, and he is too. Why? Because now he's not working on salvation of the creature. He's working on, that is, the morphe. Now he's working on your humbleness, getting rid of all your sins. So the Father still is working. That's what he was saying. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So your life is hid with God in Christ. Amen? So if that's the case, so I only have a few verses left. So I'll be here for another 2 hours. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore, raising my right hand, unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have caused you now to see it with thine eyes, but you shall not go over thither. So he's talking to Moses right here. He's talking to Moses and said, Moses, you cannot go across Jordan. You cannot go across this river. It's not a miracle that you need right here. All he did was collect 12 stones and so on and so forth, put it in the river, and the river backed up. I don't want you to go there because you sinned. If he has a blemish, if he has any stain on his life, he's the lawman, then he can't die because he's a sinner. So he had to be. Any earthly high priest is sinner, blemished. So all priests of the world are blemished, all of them. Only Jesus is our true high priest. You've never had another. He's always been, and John the Baptist said it, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Taking away the sins is five. It's not four. He just forgave you in four. The guilt is gone, but the power is still there. So he now has to work on your life every day to get rid of the power of sin. Wow. How many would like to get the power to work on your behalf? Praise God. That's what God wants, is just agree with him. Just agree with him. And don't say it like this. God, whatever it takes, just say it like this. Whatever it takes, but be careful with me because I might do that again. No. He doesn't want that. So just go without your faith. Whatever it takes, God, I'm ready. Now, if you die with Jesus, you're alive forevermore. If you die, Jesus died, Moses died, and he died, everybody's death. Death is the key to resurrection. Unless you die, you can only be resurrected from out of the realm of the dead. Hades. Hades. H-A-D-E-S. So what Jesus did was he paid for you. All of the words that I could use right here is about pardon or forgiveness or, you know, agora and so on and so forth. All of that is he paid for everything. So then God is satisfied. Come, sweet death. That's the Jordan River. You cross over that. Yourself is no longer. Israel always hates God. Did you know that everybody in Israel is a sinner? Because everybody's a Christian's a sinner. Unless you've been forgiven. Unless you're Moses. Or unless you're, you know, Moses wouldn't have made it. But he made it because he said another prophet, God's going to, was faithful. And he's a man after God's own heart. Because he said exactly what God said. When you're given the law, give the gospel. Boom, he said, there's another guy after me. Listen to him. So now the gospel is all that Moses taught Israel because God never intended for Israel to keep any law. Why? How many know that Israelis sin too? That's what the Muslims are all about. They sin at us. They da-da-da-da-da-da. Right. I know, but they have favor with God. Well, they didn't look like it to me. And so they can complete. If you want to be a complainer, it's easy. How many know it doesn't take a gift? You can just do it, you know, just automatically. You complain about everything. And you murmur about everything. And you gripe and you just are angry at everything. Well, so that's not a big deal. How many know God has already forgiven all that? That was forgiven before the foundation of the world. Ever since he was slain from the foundation of this world, people have always sinned. Everybody in the whole world except Jesus. And Jesus came to forgive your sins and pardon you and pay for your dowry and pay for your sins and pay for everything. Now it's all paid for. You are now rescued out, unloosed, by the way. So the idea of metaschema is to loosen the bonds that hold you. In other words, I come upon this vase and it's cracked. And Jesus, who's in the agora, the marketplace, says, how much is this one? Oh, it's all damaged. It's worthless. I'm going to throw it out today. Well, how much was it originally? Well, $1 billion. I'll take it. So Jesus takes you, a damaged product, and brings you to his house, and then he makes you every day because he's the maker. Jesus is the maker of the house. You see, if Moses was the servant in the house, he doesn't inherit. But if you're the maker of the house, what is the house? You. You're the house he's working on. Isn't that exciting? I think that's exciting, Pastor. I thought that was exciting. Isn't that exciting? That God is remaking you. He's transforming you. And what did he do? He was transfigured before them, metaschema. He didn't just change your form. Didn't just become a man rather than super God. He now became a man that could die so that you don't have to die. But then he humbled himself and said, I'll face the cross. Because the cross is easy for me. Because I know on the third day, I'll rise again. He was not worried about it. He knew that God would keep him. Because not only do you have faith, God keeps your faith. Not only do you have faith, God keeps your faith. That's better. To have him, who's perfect, keep your faith, which is that you do something imperfect. But so there's no sin in you. The sin is gone. And you can say right now, I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. The earth, by the way, never went to Satan. Earth never went to Satan. This is still his earth. So the world belongs to Satan, but you're not part of the world. You're a new creation. So he snatched you out. He loosed you out. He unleashed you. He redeemed you. He saved you. So that whole point of Yeshua, salvation, is known to the Jewish people. They understand mitzvah, mitzvah. It can be done in so many ways. Could be promise or it could be law. I tell you, in every case, it's a promise. I don't care what verse you come up with. It's always for your benefit. Everything God has ever done is for your benefit. That's why Larry can talk today and walk today, even though it could be different. It's not. It never will be. Why? Because even if it is, don't worry about it. Don't help God. Let God be God. As soon as you let God be God, everything goes well. So everybody here who's married, please stand up. So you need, as men, not the women. Not the women. You're all right. The wife can do no wrong, so don't worry about that. Because this is God's church. You are God's church. How did you get there? Don't worry about how you got there. Jesus died for everybody. So it's not nothing interesting for Jesus. He loves everybody. Witchcraft people, Satanists. It doesn't care. He died for all your sins on the cross. You see, people have, you know, problems with that. But it's not a problem. Problems are wonderful. I mean, in God's sight, when you suffer, then you need to get that healed or whatever. But God is your only balm in Gilead. He's the only one that can cure it. Medicines are, you know, the pain goes away. But this one is perfect. In other words, when God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, it means whatever your problem is, we can solve that. And mankind actually prays to God. God, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know. Because this wasn't covered in the book. So a lot of things you have to come up with on your own. And when you do that, you're actually doing a good work in God's point of view. In other words, Jesus did it for you. Don't take the glory. Jesus did that. Jesus helped me with that. Now, I know what Jesus is doing. He wants us to work out for his glory. What's he going to do with his glory? Give it to the children. Just give it to you. So everyone here. Now, every man here needs to say these words. As Christ loved his church. His church. So let every man love his wife. So, yeah, Now you're fiduciary. Now you are responsible. No, you're not. Jesus actually will keep you in that. So just say it with words. Don't say it when you feel it. Don't say it when you understand it. Don't say it when you want to do it. Just say it. Just say it when you go home. You're the best. I'm so happy because God let me marry you. You're a blessing. Yeah, women like it. I don't know why. They just like it. They like it. Will it be a sin on their part? No, it won't be a sin because they're the wife. They get all the blessing. You get all the burden. Jesus took all the burdens. You get all the blessings. Everyone hates that message, but I love that message because it works. It works. It actually works. When you do that, even if they mock it, even they say, I know I'm sinful. I know I don't care about sin. God doesn't care about it. I don't care about it. It's just your heart. Your heart needs to be Jesus. This is Jesus. Amen. Boom. Will you do that, Oba? Powerful.
Amen.
Jeremy, do it. You're already doing it. But keep it up. How do you keep it up? Don't keep it up. Let Jesus keep what you're keep. Because he always keeps what you're supposed to keep. Whatever you're supposed to do, he does it for you. Then he does it in you. Then he does it through you. So if that's the case, you have a good God. Amen. He's a gracious God. He's a favored God. He's favoring you. He's not taking the favor for himself. He doesn't want to be unrichly. He doesn't want to take something that isn't his. Everything on earth is for you. It's not for God. Amen. It's not for God. It's for you. And since that unjust enrichment doesn't belong to us because we're the church. And so the church is different than the world. If it's not, then you're in the world. There's no problem. God forgives anything. So he died for even the wicked people out there. There are a lot of them. I think they outnumber us. Just check China itself. They outnumber us for sure. Yeah, how about the Iranians? And how about this? And how about that? Who cares about the homosexual? Who cares about all those things? Fret not because of evildoers. They're everywhere. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. Do good for them. Never curse them. All right. Hope you are blessed today. By the way, he did die that day at 120 years. He did die. Since he died, Jesus now can pardon you forever and ever and ever. He never changed his mind. So he can't. He cannot. He can't change his mind. So God is good.
Amen. Amen. We're going to have communion now. Everybody is welcome that has received Christ. Hey, Jeff, can you help us move this table?
This one?